regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. It was very productive. It was not a very relaxing weekend, but you know, it's okay. It's spring. Time for some spring cleaning, and I was able to get that done, able to get some work done outside as well, and even found a little bit of time to go shooting down at my shooting spot by the creek. It was wonderful. Stuck to 22 because, man, the price of ammo these days, I'm holding off on shooting some of the larger caliber firearms in my collection and sticking with the stuff that is still relatively cheap, but hope you had a great weekend. We're going to be talking with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio here in just a moment about some good news in New York. Although, as Mark says, I don't know if you really call it a victory, but it is good news. We'll also talk a little bit about what's going on in Virginia and why what's happening in Virginia matters beyond the borders of Virginia. I know that there are a lot of gun owners out there around the country who are like, okay, we get it. We get it. A lot of gun control coming in Virginia. Sucks to be you guys. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you get what you voted for. I didn't vote for any of this stuff, and I'm getting it anyway. But there are some really important reasons why, even if you don't live in Virginia, even if you're never planning on visiting Virginia, and you don't have to worry about your concealed carry license not being recognized anymore, why you still need to care about what's going on in Virginia. Because Virginia is a cautionary tale for the rest of the country, particularly those states that are not ruby red, those states that have divided legislatures, those states that have, you know, narrow majorities for Republicans. This could happen to you. And I think it's very important that you are aware of what's going on and how quickly things can turn. So with that, let's get to our conversation with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. Take a look and a listen. Mark, good to see you, my friend. Thanks so much for joining me on the program.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me, Cam. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. It was another quiet day at the Supreme Court, unfortunately. But I mean, I guess, unfortunately, we didn't see any cases that we've been watching. None of the hardware ban cases got denied, so that's good. There's another case, Gardner versus Maryland, that deals with right to carry reciprocity. Court did not take any action on that, which I guess is good. Better than a denial.
Better than a denial. I'll agree.
Right. And then last week, you know, they had on the list for conference last week a case called Schoenthal versus Raul, which is a challenge to the ban on concealed carry on public transportation in Illinois. That got removed from the conference list, and it's just sort of out there in the ether right now. So I've seen folks suggest Costas Morris from Second Amendment Foundation says he thinks this is likely going to be a GVR, a grant, vacate, remand back down to the lower courts after Wolford versus Lopez comes out, since that deals with, you know, gun-free zones. So that's kind of what happened at the Supreme Court. But we did see some interesting news out of New York last week. One of the cases that, you know, has been percolating really since right after the Bruin decision, you got multiple cases challenging New York's Concealed Carry Improvement Act. And I got to put air quotes there because this did not improve anything if you are a supporter of the Second Amendment, right? This was New York's attempt to get around the Bruin decision. They put in place a number of new requirements to get a concealed carry permit when they had to adopt a shall issue system. And one of those requirements, Mark, you were supposed to hand over or at least allow law enforcement to look at all of your social media accounts going back a period of years. And if law enforcement saw something that they thought was hinky, then they could say, no, you don't get a concealed carry license. New York has defended this law ever since, until last week when Letitia James, the attorney general, said we've reached a settlement with the individual who had sued over this particular provision. We're not going to be enforcing this anymore. You know, she made it sound like we're doing this to make sure that the laws can be as strong as possible, which I think is code for we were going to lose in court. Yeah. And rather than get the court loss, we'll just quietly settle this and then have this go away.
That's called a Fourth Amendment infringement is what it is. It's a blatant, outright, stinking, rotting pile of infringement on your Fourth Amendment rights. Let's be real. And I mean, you can watch YouTube and find thousands and thousands and thousands of videos of Fourth Amendment rights being violated by law enforcement and prosecutors, et cetera, across the country. And, you know, when somebody wants to come into this and get what information is in it, they're going to need a warrant to do so. you have a right to lock it down. Hochul, I'm sure, doesn't agree with that. I don't know what got inside Letitia James' head on this, but I would like to think the Fourth Amendment had something to do with that and a potential challenge that they knew and she was likely advised that they would likely lose had something to do with that. That's my hope. But it's New York. It's Letitia James. It's Kathy Hochul. It's Mom Donnie. We all know how they feel about our gun rights, and they will do anything they possibly can. And here's the thing about that. They're just going to come up with something else down the road until we put a stop to this. So, you know, the question becomes, again, it begs the following question. How do we put a stop to that? Where do we draw the red line and what do we do about it?
Well, you know, in this case, I think
keep fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this case, you know, we did see a win. Now, it took almost 4 years in order to get this requirement dropped, even though the U.S. District Judge, who issued a preliminary injunction against a lot of the CCIA, had included this. So one of his, you know, yeah, you can't do this orders. But as you say, you know, listen, I mean, and it wasn't just the governor, it wasn't just the attorney general, right? The legislature in New York passed this. They didn't have an issue with the Fourth Amendment violation, right? They said, yeah, let's put this in the law. And the plaintiff in this case, I guess, had his Facebook account set to like friends only. And he said, listen, I would have to add a police officer as one of my friends in order for them to, you know, access my social media. Like, I don't want to. He's not a friend. He's a complete stranger. It's you know, the amazing thing is that it took this long to get this decision. And it really, we only got this decision because I think Letitia James realized she was going to get her rear end legally handed to her if she continued.
But that's part of the game, okay, is the length of time it takes. Let's be real here. They know that this is going to take 4 years. They know how the court system works in New York. They know this. So they spend taxpayer dollars. They waste all this time. They force people to go to court. They upend people's lives. They know it's going to take this time, and that's exactly why they do it. It's a way for them to say, okay, well, let's throw this against the wall. Let's see what kind of fight we're going to get and what kind of pushback we're going to get, and maybe, just maybe, this sticks. But there's another point I want to make, too, that it's you know, we call it a win, right? Is it really a win? In Virginia, we're getting ready to redefine the word win to what people in California and New Jersey have had to face for years, Cam. A win in New Jersey is how few sucky things get through. Not a win. In other words, oh man, great victory in New Jersey legislative session this year. We killed six anti-gun bills. Only two hit the governor's desk. That's not a win in my book. Mm-hmm. That's still a loss. It's just a, you know, it's less crap than we should have had to put up with. This nonsense has got to stop. And unfortunately, when you put Democrats in power, as you're getting ready to live through right now, and as you're living through right now in the state of Virginia, you know what happens. Elections have consequences. So the script is getting ready to get flipped. And it is part of their long-term strategy. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. But in fact, it is. They do this intentionally, and they're going to push these boundaries because they think everything, any constitutional verdict that is in our favor, in favor of the people, is somehow a loss to the state and the state's rights, which they don't have. We have. And it is maddeningly frustrating, but I'm glad I don't live behind that blue wall, and I'm glad I'm not having to deal with what you're having to deal with here. The state of Virginia, or in the state of Georgia, we just passed legislation that just went through committee the other day, thankfully, will move. No question, but eliminating all problems and paperwork, et cetera, hassles with suppressors. So that's a true victory. That's a win for Second Amendment. It's in advancing our rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's not having Stacey Abrams in office and we say, well, we were able to kill that bad bill and only two other ones got through. I don't want to live under that type of rule, you know, and I feel bad for friends and family that live in Virginia who are getting ready to face that now.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I want to talk about that for a second. And I know you and I were talking off air. You had a listener say, why are you spending so much time on Virginia? And yeah, you know, I'm sure I've got folks in our audience who feel the same way. But, you know, the bottom line is because this is even if you don't live in Virginia, this is an example of how quickly things can turn when Democrats have the opportunity, right? 10 major gun control bills. Passing out of the legislature this year, about 20 altogether dealing with firearms, but 10 of them really major implications for gun owners. And again, that's in a 2-month period, You're holding up the defender from the Virginia Citizens Defense League, which, you know, lists all of these provisions. And it's everything from, again, bans on commonly owned firearms and magazines, making it easier to sue your local gun dealer because a criminal steals a firearm that was originally sold from that FFL, suing gun makers as well. You've got new expansions for the red flag law. You've got new storage requirements for your home, for your vehicle. You've got a brand new state agency, essentially, that's going to be like a jobs program for gun control activists that we're going to be paying for. And, you know, we could look at this and say, well, but yeah, I mean, but like the $500 tax on suppressors that got killed, the 11% excise tax on ammo and guns got killed. So those are victories. But to your point, yeah, I'm glad that we don't have to deal with those two. But
the list that you have to deal with won't fit on camera.
Yeah.
Each one of those lines, viewers, is not an explanation of what's above it. Each one of those individual lines is an infringement in Virginia on your right to bear arms. And this is just page two. There's a first page on the other side of this that I don't want to bother flipping through right now, but this is a continuation. So the reason we talk about this and the reason it's so vital and important is because whether you then the email referred to, I don't live in Virginia. We know what's going on in Virginia. There's other things to talk about. Yeah, there is. There's no question. We do talk about those things. But the key point here is this is what they want for you. They want you to become Virginia. So you had better be paying attention. With this is a, I say a rare opportunity because it's happening right before our eyes. We've watched it unfold in real time in the state of Virginia. We watched it develop from an election to the losses in Virginia, meaning the 18 seats in the House of Delegates, the governor's mansion, attorney general, everything else flips. And look how fast it happened, as you just pointed out. This is what they want for you in your state. So you had better be paying attention. And Virginia is an open book, and we can look right straight down the barrel of what it is they want for us. So, yeah, we're going to continue to jump on Virginia as there's moves. Why the Supreme Court needs to jump in as well, too, Cam, and put some of this to bed simply by taking a couple of cases. And that would knock out at least – we'll talk about the assault weapons ban or what do they call it in Virginia? Assault firearms. Redefined it. It's assault firearms now. So we have to knock that big one out, bans. Unfortunately, some of those that are challenged are not going to see – precedent set at the Supreme Court. And a lot of what's happening in Virginia is likely to stand, unfortunately, because there's just not enough backstory and precedent behind it for the court to take the case in a conference setting. They likely won't even take a look at it. So sadly, this is going to be years and years and years and years out in the state of Virginia. But if we can get some of these big ones like gun bans, where we're already looking at the court sitting on these things, they just need to get off their duffs and do something. That would put a big chunk out of what Virginia Democrats are trying to do. So we'll follow it, obviously.
The one thing that gives me hope, because you're right. I mean, I'm getting so frustrated by the Supreme Court's inaction.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, I talked to John Comerford from NRA-ILA about this maybe 2 weeks ago. And, you know, he was very adamant. Like, he knows the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is extremely hostile right now to gun owners. And so anything that gets filed in federal court, you're going to run into that roadblock at the Fourth Circuit. You're going to have to get up to SCOTUS, and you're going to have to hope that SCOTUS gets off its collective rear end and you know, takes more of these cases. State court's a different matter, though, right? We do have language protecting the right to keep our arms in the Virginia State Constitution. We've actually had several good rulings from circuit court judges, including one that undid the universal background check law. Yeah. So, you know, John said, we're going to be filing lawsuits in state court, too. And I am hopeful that, you know, we'll see some fruitful progress being made there. I don't think that the Virginia State Supreme Court is going to duck as many of these, you know, these issues going forward. The question, though, is, you know, what's the makeup of the court going to look like? Right now, it's a fairly small C conservative majority. But
that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But that's okay.
I'm worried, though, that could change by the time some of these cases get up there.
That's a real possibility. And what has to happen in Virginia now is you've got to get some of these lower courts to issue some injunctions here and let the state decide whether they want to appeal this and how they're going to appeal it. So at the state level, like you, I spoke with Justin Davis, not John, but I spoke with Justin Davis on the MonsterCast last night for the first two segments in hour one to open the show. And I can assure viewers and listeners that as we speak, the NRA has the lawsuits lined up right now. And it's not just the NRA. There are other organizations as well that will be lining up and teaming up. You can bet your, as my dad used to say when I was a kid, you can bet your bippy that you're going to see the FPC, you're going to see the Second Amendment Foundation teaming up with the NRA. VCDL, individual plaintiffs across the state to try to put a stop to this. And the worst part about all of that is the amount of money it's going to cost Virginia residents, the amount of time this is going to take, all because you've got the Wicked Witch of the West sitting in there who runs on this. And I had one question to Justin last night. Would it be possible that Spanberger might opt out on one or two of these bills just to show that she is, in fact, a moderate? Maybe that goes too far. Here's my short answer for that. No. Yeah. She ran on that. She lied her tail off. She's going to sign all these bills. I'll be utterly shocked if one of them meets a veto pen.
I would be too. I kind of talked about this on X a couple of days ago and had some folks say, well, maybe she doesn't sign all of them. Maybe she just allows some of them to go into law.
Possible.
Because in Virginia, if you don't sign the bills, they just take effect anyway. So it is possible that she maybe doesn't put pen to paper on all of these bills, and that way she can say, well, I never signed that. But as far as like actually vetoing any of these bills, I don't see it happening. I'm with you, Mark. I don't see it happening. There was one bill dealing with how guns are stored in vehicles. And the way the House of Delegates passed it, there was a carve out for lawmakers.
Yeah. For that.
I thought maybe that'll be the one that she vetoes and that she could show how moderate she is. But actually, that language was stripped out by the Senate. So I think she's going to let all of these take effect. And we are going to have to litigate all of these. And you're right. Some of these are going to stand, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Laws are going to change in Virginia for the worse. And it's not because violent crime is through the roof. Virginia is one of the safer countries. It's got the violent crime that's below the national average. Yeah. This is not about public safety. This is about gun owner control. This is about eradicating gun ownership. And they're playing the long game. You know, Mark, right now, AR sales, I'm very curious to see what the April NICS numbers look like for Virginia.
They're going to be
February,
huge.
They were up, or excuse me, the March NICS numbers, but we'll get in early April. February, up about 20% in the state of Virginia, gun sales were. I think it's going to be through the roof. I was talking to somebody over the weekend who went to a gun store, bought an AR for the first time, didn't really plan on it, but was like, I'm going to get one now. And he said literally they were being sold by the pallet. Yeah. This weekend. So in the short term, the Democrats have put a lot of quote unquote large capacity magazines and assault firearms into the Commonwealth of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And they're okay with that because long term, starting July 1st, those sales stop.
Right.
And as far as they're concerned, no more. So, you know, if there are 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 more ARs on July 1st than there were on January the 1st, they'll live with that, knowing that the sales stop completely after.
Yeah,
that.
Because it is the long game. They're looking at attrition. And they are. When we're talking about the long game here, they're looking 20, 30 years down the road from now. They know that if these laws stand muster, or if they can beat them back for as long as they possibly can, that just through attrition alone, you're going to see a reduction overall. The ultimate goal here is to make it difficult for law-abiding gun owners to purchase guns. It has nothing to do with crime. Nothing to do with crime. If they wanted to stop crime, they could increase funding for law enforcement. They could grow police forces. They could write new laws. They could start putting criminals in jail. They could increase sentencing. They could increase mandatory sentencing, minimum sentence. They're not doing any of that. They're attacking you with this garbage all day long. And, you know, again, I hate to say it, but elections have consequences. This is a very, very serious problem in Virginia and more so for the country because, let me phrase it this way. At least we have a window in real time to what they want to do. We don't have to speculate. They can't hide behind what they've done. We know every single bill that's on her desk. We know what she's going to do. Regarding that carve out for the parking lot exception for themselves was, I think, so egregious that even the Senate looked at that. I wouldn't be shocked if Spanberger met behind the scenes with some senators and said, hey, guys, that didn't get very good press. That doesn't look good. I'm going to sign the bill anyway. Just pull the carve out. I mean, that's just the way these people play games.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. This happened the last day of the session. That's the thing. and so, you know, I think it was the Republicans in the Senate who became aware of this, called it out. You saw that immediate reaction. Because if you look at the legislative history for that bill, like the last day of the session, the House approves it. It comes out of a conference committee. The House approves the conference committee report, goes over to the Senate. Senate rejects it. Ordinarily, that'd be it. I mean, it's the last day of the session. But they reconvene the conference committee, which rarely happens. And then they said, OK, fine, we'll drop that out. So they send it out. It goes back to the House. Or I'm sorry, it goes to the Senate. The Senate approves it. Then it goes to the House. House approves the amended version. All of this, again, the last hours of the session, that just, I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. And by the way, Virginia Democrats could not get a budget passed because they were, you know, too busy concentrating on gun control.
What we all know, too, they don't really care. They sit in this conference and they say to themselves, don't worry about it. We don't have to follow it anyway.
Right. Yeah. That's the other
thing. Who cares? It's just the way they operate. It's rules for thee, not for me. And we're watching it unfold. At least we have this amazing opportunity to watch what they want, which is why we're going to continue to talk about Virginia, because we can see it in real time. And guys, you know, look at the, and you guys are writing about it over at Bearing Arms right now. They're still squawking like hawks about the DC magazine overturning the quote unquote large capacity magazines. They're all up in arms about that. They're now seeking a three judge en banc hearing on this. What are they going to do if they lose en banc? What are they going to do? They're going to seek cert at the Supreme Court? No, this is just one other step. They'll be told by their own party not to seek cert at Supreme Court over that. Just like you go back to the Wren v. DC case. You know, we could go on and on, and we could go years back. We know what their playbook is, and we're watching it. These people cannot be trusted, period.
Absolutely. And, you know, just one final thought. I mean, you say elections have consequences. When you look at the makeup of, you know, I'm not talking about Utah or Texas right now, but, like, look at Minnesota, right? Oh. One vote in the House, and Minnesota has a gun ban, has a magazine ban. Yeah. One vote flip, right? Michigan, you've got a divided legislature, very narrow control by Republicans in the House. Pennsylvania, same thing. All of these states, you've got legislative seats up for grabs in November. So again, you know, if you think, why are we talking so much about Virginia? Because I don't want to talk about Pennsylvania. I don't want to talk about Michigan. I don't want to talk about Wisconsin or Minnesota in the same way I'm talking about Virginia now. But gun owners better be aware, and they better get involved, because I think it's going to be a really tough election environment, and your rights really are at stake.
Well, that's why the midterms are so important. Again, Virginia is an open window into that. That's also an open book into the midterms. If Trump loses the midterms, House or Senate, we're going to have a problem keeping the Trump agenda intact. He's going to have a difficult time. And what we're looking at after the midterms, of course, is 2028. We don't want to see the Virginianization, which is just another extension of the Californication or the New Yorkization or the Illinoisation of the United States, because this is what we're seeing. Yeah. So what does it do? It's a reminder for us to start getting active now and start paying attention to what's happening in these midterms. You know, and that race is on right now, and it's going to heat up big time over the summer. It's going to be a nasty year for politics in the nation's 250th birthday, I'm afraid. And you know, I'm still wondering if the Democrats are going to celebrate America's 250th year, if they're going to continue hating on the country they call home.
We shall see. Yeah, Mark, as always, man, I appreciate you coming on the program. It's great to see you. If folks want to check out Armed American Radio, either the Daily Defense or the Big Sunday Monster Cast, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, armedamericanradio.com. You can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us on Rumble, Facebook. You can watch us over at Armed American Radio. And you can watch us on X Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Eastern, 1 to 2 Pacific, and Sundays, 8 to 11 Eastern, 5 to 8 Pacific. I'll see you on the radio.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Cam.
My thanks to Mark for joining us on the program. Looking forward to having him back, and looking forward to being on Armed American Radio at some point in the very near future as well. Right now, though, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start with a case out of Illinois, and again, not one of the true recidivist reports. I don't believe this woman had any previous criminal history, but it is one of those cases that really leaves you scratching your head. Here's the headline: probation for woman who opened fire, shooting partner as he walked away from her at Gurney Hotel. And I saw this and I thought to myself, okay, well, there's got to be more to this story. How does somebody get probation for shooting somebody who's walking away from them? And the only other part to this story is that the woman in question alleges that she was being abused by this guy before she shot him, before he started walking away. The problem is that there's no evidence of that. So this comes from the Lake McHenry Scanner. Woman in question, Angela Mack, from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. She was arrested after shooting her partner outside of the 10 Hotel in Gurney. This was on Thanksgiving last year, following an argument, just before noon last Thanksgiving. Officers at the scene spoke with a staff member who said that she was told by maintenance personnel they believed the shooting had occurred the prior evening. I guess that was the day after Thanksgiving when the officers talked to that employee. Video surveillance showed the shooting occurred around 9:45 on Thanksgiving Day when a dark Dodge Caravan pulled up to the front loading driveway of the hotel. A guy gets out of the passenger side, throws something to the ground. Surveillance video, which I don't think had any audio, but the guy appears to be arguing with the driver as he's walking away. Then the driver gets out of the vehicle, walks up behind the passenger with a black handgun in her hand, then fires around into the ground between the two, which is when the guy turns around and faces Mac and then starts to back away towards the door of the hotel. She then follows him and she fires another round into like a concrete pillar that's between her and the victim. He then stops in front of the hotel. She's got the gun pointed at him. She's yelling at him. He takes another step back, and then she fires another round, a third shot, this one hitting the guy in his right thigh. He falls to the ground. She goes and stands over him. She's got the gun pointed at him. He then takes a pack of cigarettes, throws it to the ground. She picks up the cigarettes, gets back into the Dodge Caravan. He gets up from the ground. He gets back in the van for some reason. And then the two drive off. And then a gunshot victim shows up at a hospital in Waukegan, Illinois, a short time later. Police responded to the hospital. They ended up taking Mac into custody while also locating the victim being treated by medical staff. Mac was interviewed and told investigators that they were arguing earlier in the night at a relative's house outside of Gurnee. She said they left. They continued to verbally argue and then began to physically fight. Mac admitted to shooting the victim with a pistol that she owned. Police said that the defendant followed the victim from the vehicle, fired two rounds, toying with him before shooting him in the leg. And then after shooting him in the leg, the defendant stood over him, pointing the pistol at him before getting a pack of cigarettes and then getting back into the car. Police said the defendant did not even help the victim get in the vehicle. They argued that Mac should be held without bail, saying that there are no conditions or combination of conditions that the defendant will follow, and asked that she be detained. That request was granted. A public defender during this hearing argued that the victim had a, quote, significant criminal history and was physically attacking Mac. But prosecutors said the surveillance video showed no physical altercation when the shooting happened. In fact, again, he was trying to get away from her, repeatedly walking away from her. So she was not acting in self-defense at that point, right? As soon as that guy, let's say that he was attacking her. Let's just assume for the sake of argument that he was. As soon as he got out of that vehicle, he no longer posed a threat to her. She could have driven off, even if the passenger door is open, drive off into the parking lot, get away from him, run around, slam the door, and then drive off. But that isn't what happened. Instead, she got out of the car with a gun. He's walking away. She fires two shots that don't hit him. I guess maybe warning shots, quote unquote, or as police said, toying with him. And then she shoots him. And then as he's laying on the ground, she points a gun at him again. Now, that's pretty clearly, to me, it's aggravated assault, maybe even attempted murder. But instead, Mac was able to enter into a plea deal with the state's attorney last month. She pleaded guilty to one count of reckless discharge of a firearm. First of all, there were three shots, but one count of reckless discharge of a firearm, which is a class 4 felony, in exchange for the more serious charges being dismissed. She was sentenced to 2 years probation and 73 days in jail, which was considered served because of the 73 days that she spent behind bars awaiting trial. So that's it. The time that she spent in jail waiting to go to trial, and then 2 years of probation. Now, she was convicted of a felony. She lost her ability to legally own a firearm. But that's it. That's the entire punishment. And again, I am just left scratching my head as to why prosecutors would agree to this deal. Even given the allegations that, you know, she was being attacked by this guy beforehand, based on all of the evidence that's available, she was the aggressor. And even if he had initiated contact inside that vehicle that wasn't caught on surveillance footage, what was caught on that footage shows that she had every opportunity to get away from him. And instead, when he did not pose a threat to her, she posed a threat to him. I do not believe that the prosecutors have made any statement about why they offered a plea deal in this case. But once again, Illinois seeming to turn a blind eye to people who commit acts of violence while making it extraordinarily difficult for people to protect themselves against violent attackers. Now, on to today's armed citizen story from California, another place that doesn't make it easy to exercise your Second Amendment rights. The headline, would-be intruder shot by Rancho Cordova homeowner after forcing way into home. I got news for the press outlet here. This was Channel 4, I believe, in... I take that back. This was the Sacramento Bee. When somebody actually breaks into your home, they're not a would-be intruder. They're an intruder. They might be a would-be robber who's prevented from, you know, carrying out the robbery because they got shot by a homeowner. But once they're inside, once they force their way into the home, they're not a would-be intruder anymore. This was last Thursday. According to the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office, the man who is known to the homeowner but did not live there at the residence tried to gain entry about 9:15 last Thursday night. There were two people inside the home, an adult man and woman. They called 911. They repeatedly told the guy to leave. The 25-year-old man told the victims multiple times that he was going to kill one of them and then broke a window and went into the home, which prompted one of the victims to open fire. Deputies responded to the scene. By the way, they did not get there in time to witness this shooting, much less to prevent the guy from going in through the window. And they found him with a gunshot wound that was not considered life-threatening. He was taken to a local hospital, was medically cleared, and then booked into the Sacramento County Jail on suspicion of felony burglary, as well as making threats to commit a crime resulting in death or great bodily injury. Scheduled to appear in court today. And as far as I know, no charges expected to be filed against the homeowner, who at that point, again, was acting in self-defense. Somebody's threatening to kill you. They break into your home. You can take them at their word. And you do not have to wait to be physically assaulted at that point to defend yourself. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A couple of Good Samaritans recently recognized by the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department for saving a life. The fire department knew that these Good Samaritans, well, actually they knew of a Good Samaritan. They didn't realize actually that there were two people involved. They posted on Facebook last Tuesday asking for help to identify a Good Samaritan who saved a person from a burning car earlier this month. And then, as it turns out, two individuals came forward, Bill Fry and Sam Fleming, both pulled over when they saw a single car crash back on March the 5th. Fry was driving on Interstate 435, and he saw a car that had crashed into a bridge pillar, and at that point could see the smoke, could start to see the flames. He said, I pulled over, I parked my truck, I walked over to the car, and the gentleman was leaning out of the car yelling for help. He said, so I grabbed him and I pulled him out. He said, I think I would consider myself a person who wants to help other people, and I just stopped to check on somebody, and I was able to help him. Fry then called 911 to report the crash. Sam Fleming saw the same crash, and he stopped as well. He said, I noticed that he was there, meaning Fry. We're investigating the vehicle, all saw the smoke. You got to help. You got to jump in. He says, you can't let people burn. So both of those individuals hailed and praised by the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department to Captain Robert Allen, presented them with a challenge coin saying, thanks, guys. You saved a life. You really did. And it sounds like, indeed, they did. In the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. These Good Samaritans who didn't stick around, didn't need any credit, didn't want, you know, any accolades, but I'm glad that they did actually step forward and say, okay, yes, I'm the person that you're looking for. Bill Fry, Sam Fleming, we thank you both for your very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam & Company, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com today. We are keeping you up to date on all the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. If you like what you see, I would also encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. Just go to BearingArms.com/subscribe, use the promo code FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, and you can take 60% off your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership. No matter what tier support you choose, you're going to get some great benefits. Obviously, I think those benefits expand as you go up to VIP Gold and Platinum. But no matter what tier of support you choose, you are going to be supporting the work we're doing at Buried Arms. And I want to thank you for that very much, because that support does mean a lot. Have a great rest of your Monday. Looking forward to seeing you back here again for 2A Tuesday. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.